John Currier was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison in the year 1949. Later, he was paroled and he was placed to work as a farmer in Nashville, Tennessee. He worked on that farm, working hard and long hours for many years. In 1968, his sentence was overturned, and a letter was sent to let him know the good news that he was free. But John never got the letter, nor was he ever told anything about his sentence being overturned. Life on that farm was hard. In fact, he knew no other life, and he continued to work on that same farm even after the owner of the farm had passed away. 10 years went by, and finally, a state parole officer learned about Currier, and they contacted him. They explained that his sentence had been overturned many years earlier, and he was in reality a free man. Unfortunately, he did not know it. The point is this: Currier continued to live as a prisoner, even though he was free. The question I have for each of us today is this: if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you understand what it is to experience freedom in Christ? You see, when we trust Christ as our Savior, we are set free from the sentence of death. It is reversed. Yet many fail to experience freedom or even understand what it means. One day Jesus was talking to some Jews who had placed their faith in him, and they too had trouble understanding freedom. Our text today is in John chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 31 to 36. If you haven't already turned there, I would encourage you to turn there. I'll give you a second, and then I will read. It says, "To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we shall be set free?' Jesus replied, 'I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" This morning, I have two truths that I want to share with you, trying to help us to all understand what it means when the Scripture says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. How does that apply to Christians in the 21st century? According to Webster, freedom is the absence of restraint. I'm not really sure that is a good biblical definition of what it means to be set free in Christ, or how that applies to Christian freedom. So today I'll share two truths. If you haven't already grabbed your white sheet from the bulletin, I would suggest you do. Truth number one says this: when we know the truth sets us free. When we know the truth sets us free. You see, one of the keys to understanding this passage is to understand what the word truth means. Truth means to know the facts. Truth means for us to understand the reality. The Jewish people who had converted from Judaism to follow Jesus did not understand what he meant. They were accustomed to following a list of rules and regulations from their former Jewish faith. They had strict laws and strict guidelines. They did not understand freedom. Unfortunately, many Christians today lack a clear understanding as well. And usually freedom is seen in two extremes. The first extreme is this: I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. That means I have received forgiveness for every sin I have ever committed, past, present, and future. It's all covered in Christ's blood. And because of that, my sin no longer matters. I can do whatever I want to do. I can live however I want to live, and I'm forgiven. That's an extreme, all right? Now, maybe you know people like that. When I was in Bible college, I worked for a greenhouse range called Greenleaf Enterprises. They were based in Leola, Pennsylvania. And my immediate supervisor, Bill, he would say to me, "You know, Kevin, I don't understand. You people over at Lancaster Bible College, you have this whole list of rules. You don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do this, you don't do that." "That's ridiculous," he would say. He said, "Jesus died for my sins. I can do whatever I want, and I'll still go to heaven." That's not what the Bible teaches us. We are free in Christ, but that doesn't mean we should be free to go and do whatever we want. That's not it at all. But that's one extreme. You see, Paul writes in Romans 6 saying this: "Should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not," he says. "Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it?" We shouldn't seek to continue. Freedom doesn't allow us, or should not allow us, or give us a desire to continue to sin so that we can have more and more of his grace. That's not the way it should be. But there is another extreme, and the other extreme is legalism, where in an effort to please God, we construct a list of rules and regulations that we should follow. Now, let me make one thing very clear. If you are a follower of Jesus, you should also be following his word and doing your very best to be obedient. But that's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about an extreme. Remember in our study on the Ten Commandments a while back, we talked about how the religious leaders during the time of Jesus, they had constructed many, many rules and regulations that kind of took the Word of God to the next level. You know, they defined work as, like, that would be a violation of the law on the Sabbath, okay? Pouring a tablespoon of milk, that would be breaking the law. And they had a whole bunch of laws that were created to kind of skirt the actual law. And that, I believe, is what happens today with that other extreme. Usually, it has to do with appearance, and it rarely has to do with the heart. It might be like, well, if you really love Jesus and you're a woman, you will not wear pants. Anybody know the chapter and verse for that? Good, neither do I. All right? Or if you really love Jesus, this is the kind of clothing you will wear, or this is the kind of hat you'll wear, or this is how you will cut your hair, or whatever. There's no biblical evidence that is taking an extreme. I'm not badgering anybody that follows some of those extra things, but it's not biblical, okay? We need to understand. So there's two extremes to Christian freedom. One extreme is you just go do whatever you want willy-nilly, you have a license to sin, okay? And the other is legalism, which means we have a whole bunch of self-created rules that we use to skirt around to make ourselves feel more religious. Neither of those is what Jesus is talking about when he says the Son sets us free. And unfortunately, many believers fail to experience the freedom that is in Christ. Jesus said, the thief comes to only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. A rich and satisfying life is found in trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so we have freedom, but we also have some responsibility that goes with that. And one would say, wow, you know, freedom and responsibility, that sounds like they oppose each other. But remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We wrongly think sometimes that submission to Christ brings bondage. That is not true. When we submit to Christ, when we surrender to Christ, it does not bring constraint. It does not bring bondage. Rather, it brings freedom. That's one of those things that you scratch your head and say, you know what? If I surrender my will for his will, it seems like I'm not free at all. But the truth is, that's where freedom begins. Freedom is found in submission. It's like a lot of things that are very different, kind of upside down in the kingdom of God. You know, the greatest in the kingdom of God is a servant. The one who is weak is the one who is strong. The one who is poor is really the one who is rich. The one who loses his life is the one who will find it. And the one who surrenders and submits is the one who is free. Jesus is saying, if you live in accordance with his teachings, if you know the truth, you will be free. There was a stand at a local farmer's market, and one of the vendors was selling quail. Now, instead of having the quail in cages, they were tied to a stake with a string that was attached to one of their legs. And as you would pass that vendor, the quail were just circling around the pole endlessly. Well, there was a man that came along, and he really didn't like that idea. And he decided that he wanted to free them. So he asked the vendor how much. He paid the price for all of the birds. And then he got down on his hands and knees, crawling around, untying the string that was attached to each of their legs. Instead of flying away, they continued to circle the pole. They did not understand what it was to be free. Finally, the man began to shoo them away, and they stopped circling the pole. You see, we need to understand, when Jesus sets us free, we do not need to continue in the same way that it's been. We're freed from something, and we're going to look at that in just a second. When we understand the truth, when we really understand the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done for us, the truth sets us free. The second point is this. When we know the Son sets us free. Again, the Jewish followers did not understand. In verse 33, they said, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we are set free? Now, first of all, They were not only were they confused about what Jesus was saying, they also were very forgetful. Were the Jewish people ever slaves? Where were they slaves? In Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. We're going to touch the other end of that as we come into our Joseph study, right? They were slaves in Egypt. But in addition to that, they were under a yoke of subjection in four kingdoms after that: Babylon, Persia, Greece, and they were currently under subjection to Rome. They were not free. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Not only did they deny that they were once slaves, but they didn't realize that they were also slaves to sin. You see, apart from the finished work of Christ, apart from faith in Him, we are all slaves. We are slaves to sin. The Bible tells us that every one of us, no matter how good we try to be, we are never as good as or as holy as God is. We all fall short of His standard. We all fall short of His holiness. We all break His laws and commands. The Bible also tells us that there is a penalty for that. And the penalty for that is separation from God. God is a holy God. He does not coexist with sin. And so we all have a sentence against us. And the sentence is eternal separation from God. But thank God the story doesn't end there. Because the truth is that God sent His only Son Jesus into this world. And Jesus submitted to the Father's will. Jesus went to a cross. Jesus suffered. Jesus bled. Jesus died. And the Bible tells us that God accepted Jesus' death as a payment for your sin and for mine. The Bible also tells us that we must believe in that by faith. When Jesus died for the sins of the world, that doesn't mean the whole world is automatically forgiven. Because the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And so by that act of faith, by that act of believing that Jesus' death paid the penalty that was due for us, we receive forgiveness and we receive a promise of eternal life. And the penalty that is due, we are set free from that penalty. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, it says, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." When you trust Christ as your Savior, there is no more condemnation against you. You are set free from the penalty of sin. But we are not free from the struggle of sin. Because let me tell you, the struggle is real. It is. And we need to understand that. Now, here's what the Apostle Paul said. And I have it kind of condensed. He said, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want. But I do the very things I hate. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Can you identify with that? You know, it's a struggle. There are things that we say, "Well, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to say that. I'm never going to do this," or whatever. And we find ourselves doing the very thing we said we were not going to do. The struggle's real. We are set free from the penalty of sin. But the practice of sin is another story. But we are not left powerless. We are not hopeless. You see, God provided freedom for that as well. You see, when you trust Christ as your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit comes and lives or takes up residence inside of every true believer. Part of the ministry of that Holy Spirit, he convicts us of sin. But another thing that he does is he gives us victory over temptation and sin. We are not left powerless. In fact, Peter says this, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. We, in theory, if we continually surrendered and submitted to the leading and power of the Holy Spirit, we would choose not to sin. But the Spirit is willing, and the flesh is often weak. We need to understand that Jesus sets us free from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. Because if we were fully surrendered, fully submitted to the Holy Spirit, and we were allowing God to live through us, sin would be less of a struggle. In Galatians 5, it says this, walk under the control of the Spirit, and we will no longer be forced to live in bondage to the desires of the flesh. It's a struggle. It is real. But we are not left powerless. We have God's Holy Spirit living in us. And again, it comes to surrender. It comes to submission. Who's in control? When God's Spirit comes to live inside of us, it's not a hostile takeover. It's often a war between his spirit and our flesh. If we would just surrender. If we would surrender, we would be free. If we would submit, we would be free. Let me tell you a story. There was a duke by the name of Reynald III who lived in the 14th century. He lived a life of overindulgence. One day, Reynald and his brother Edward had a vicious fight, and Edward executed a revolt against Reynald. Edward eventually conquered his brother and took him into custody, but he did not take his life. This is what he did. He had a room constructed for Reynald in the castle, and he promised his brother that freedom would be his as soon as he was able to leave the room. Now, that sounds like an easy thing, especially the fact that the room had many windows and many doors. But the problem was, Reynald liked to overindulge, and Edward knew it. And so Edward would send an abundance of rich foods and things to his room. And Reynald would continue to indulge. And he couldn't get out of the door because he couldn't fit through it. All he really needed to do was gain control, and he would be free. He continued to be a prisoner of his own doing, even after his brother passed away. How much more so do many followers of Jesus continue in the prison that they create for themselves? Because Jesus says, if I set you free, you are free indeed. When the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. So we need to understand something. True Christian freedom is ours when we submit and surrender to the Word of God, when we submit and surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. He might say, well, that's not free. If I have to follow what the Word of God says, that's constraining. Remember, God gives us a standard by which we're to live in His Word to protect us, not to hinder us. It's like having a fence around a yard where little children are playing. It's there for protection. It's so that they don't run into the street. God gives us His Word. He tells us, this is how I want you to live. Not because He wants to constrain us, but because He wants His best for us. He wants to prevent all of the hurt and all of the scars from disobeying Him. And so He gives us His Word. When we follow what His Word says, when we submit to His Word, it's real freedom. He gives us His Spirit to live inside of us, to guide us, to help us to resist sin, to help us to resist temptation, to help us to make right and good decisions. He will guide us always. He does for our freedom, not to constrain us. Because God's word is true. When the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. We're free from the penalty of sin. We're free from the power of sin. That's what He offers to us. That's what He freely gives us. So let me ask you this. Are you set free? Have you been set free? You know, I can remember well. I was 18 years old when I trusted Christ as my Savior. And there were many things in the religion that my family taught me to practice that were far from freedom. There was a whole list of rules that you had to follow. And there was never a way to know whether you followed them well enough, because nobody knew that answer. And then I was 18 years old, and I found out that not only could I not follow those rules well enough, God didn't expect me to. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus. Jesus came to this world. He lived a sinless life. He was tempted in every way that you and I are tempted, and He never, ever sinned. And regardless of the fact that He was completely innocent, He went to a cross, suffered, bled, and died, and paid the penalty for your sin and for mine. Have you believed that? Have you placed your faith in Him? Do you know that you have placed your faith in Christ and you are forgiven? I remember what it felt like when that weight was taken off, when the truth set me free, when the Son set me free. Do you remember when that happened to you? Are you free? And then the second question is this. Are you experiencing true freedom? True freedom isn't living your life doing whatever you please with no concern. That's not real freedom. Or are you like following a list of all these rules that aren't even in the Word of God, thinking that now that makes Jesus love you just a little more, okay? Freedom is ours. We are set free from the penalty of sin by faith. We are set free from the power of sin by God's Holy Spirit. Yes, it might make us scratch our heads. Freedom through surrender? Freedom from submission? But that is exactly what Jesus meant when He said, when the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Why not surrender to Jesus and let freedom ring in your life? Because when Jesus sets us free, we are truly free indeed. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that Your Son, Jesus, has come to set us free. Free from a yoke of sin that we could never have found ourselves free from by our own actions, by our own efforts. Jesus secured that for us. We thank you that if we trust him by faith, that is the offer, forgiveness and eternal life. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're not free. You're in bondage to sin. You're a slave to sin. But you can trust him even today by believing that when Jesus died on that cross, he paid that penalty in your place. Trusting him by faith simply says telling him what you believe, admitting that you have broken his laws and commands, that you believe that he is your Savior. He is the one who paid the price, the penalty that was due for you. If you want to do that in the quietness of your heart, even right now, you might say something like this: Lord Jesus, I know that I have broken your laws and commands, and I am sorry. And I now believe that when you died on that cross, you died there and paid my penalty, the penalty that was due for my sin. And I thank you for it. And right now, I trust you as my Savior. And I thank you for what you have done for me. If we know Christ is our Savior, maybe it's time for us to surrender to him. Stop doing things our own way. Stop finding ourselves doing the things we don't want to do. And submit and surrender to the Holy Spirit. And allow the Holy Spirit to have control over our lives. My friend, that is the way to true freedom. Because when we know the truth, and when we know the Son, we are free indeed. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Amen.